Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 2nd of October, 2025, and you're on the clock with Aaron Green. And this day two of the Fourth Future of Democracy Conference is starting right now. I am certain, and they've got a great lineup of speakers today for day two. We're going to go through that in a moment. So today, I want to highlight some positive education-focused stories in the country. Juxtapose that both the academic programs and the Fourth Future of Democracy Conference with an event, something huge, something massive, huge happened in the region yesterday. And it's all about CARICOM and the free movement of people. I wanted to juxtapose those two conversations. But I got a guest joining me in studio to start the show. Producers, the guest in the Zoom room. Good morning, Chris Carroll. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Aaron. I am really phenomenal and so grateful that you made time for me today.
No, but listen, we're making time for education and academics. We need to show young people that we're prepared to invest in their future by growing the conversation around education and academics, making education more accessible to people, and more importantly, sharing opportunities for people and their personal and professional academic and education experience. So it is my pleasure to have you guys in talk about, is it one or two upcoming programs?
I'm going to tell you, we have an entire National Performing Arts Education Initiative with the Shirley Hall Bass Foundation. I think you've already had me on the program talking about the incredible work, the collaboration on the development of National Performing Arts Standards. Aaron, we are done with the primary art standards. So when I say it has been a privilege to work with Dr. Ian Strawn and Tanya Hanna, and Nico Bethel is organized an incredible group of her Dundas performing artists to review the drama standards. This is a collective, collaborative work that the Ministry of Education has been in full support of, and it will go from kindergarten through 12th grade. So we are really excited about the completion of our primary standards. We're getting those reviewed. We got Ministry of Education really excited about what we're saying is, just not for some kids in the country, but for every child in the country to have the opportunity to know their culture. I'm not talking about making people ballerinas. I mean to know your own culture. So we're talking about skills like communication, collaboration. How about some conflict resolution? You know, if we had to work on our junk and new costumes together and we're designing it, I don't like your design and we're starting to row, we got to work this out, right? Because we're committed. So the National Performing Arts Goals that we've worked on with a Bahamian think tank, we have come up with 8 goals, which are going to be rolled out on a monthly basis to all of the school children in the country. But starting with an Arts 900 class, which is being supported in collaboration with Disney Cruise Lines in Eleuthera. We cannot forget about the importance of our family islands, right?
Right.
So I am telling you all today that while we had a very successful Arts 900 class focused on Junkanoo, allowing classroom teachers, those are some of the people we're looking for, mm-hmm. right? Those are going to be teachers from Eleuthera this time in primary school. And then we have incredible performing artists. These people turned out for our last cohort. This is an online Zoom class where we're partnering teachers and working artists and artistic Bahamian cultural experts to come and listen to phenomenal lectures provided by Arlene Nash Ferguson, Nico Bethel. Arlene Nash Ferguson inspired the course because of her practice and perception of Junkanoo as feeding the whole child, giving them a sense of responsibility around relationship, culture, community, identity. Junkanoo is a really powerful teaching tool. So Ministry of Education started last spring with the Junkanoo in Schools program. Our work with the ministry is leveling that up because we want to see a sustainable and understandable and recognizable. It breaks my heart to go around public schools in the Bahamas and kids don't know who Freddie Monnings is. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What mm-hmm. does that mean, right? To understand what Junkanoo is, the Africanity involved in Junkanoo. These are the really relevant parts of the curriculum that we've developed. Mm-hmm. But this Arts 900 class, I'm so excited. We have scholarships, okay? We're looking for teaching artists in Eleuthera. We start October 11th on Zoom. The class is free to 10 Eleuthera teaching artists. I went there with one of our board members to sign people up. People were wiggling in their seats, really excited about this opportunity because the one thing I know we understand as a people is if I say Junkanoo and I say, what life skills are you getting out of Junkanoo? And I say, how about commitment? You know, that's not an easy thing. I'm scared myself trying to rush at the age I am, right? Mm-hmm. That takes commitment, right? It takes community, right? It takes collaboration, yeah. The critical thinking skills to really come up with a theme that's not, you know, mm-hmm. really, really, really clever. And has potential in wide representation of a big idea. There is so much in the example of what we get as adults out of Junkanoo that our teachers in this country, the classroom teachers, are now being expected, I'm not kidding you, to implement the performing arts in the classroom. I'm not waiting for a specialist dance teacher or a specialist drama teacher. That's part of our reach. We're advocating for those things. And, you mm-hmm. know, campus is working hard. But when we talk about the primary school children, they need to know the basic life skills that are so relevant around their own identity, their
absolutely.
Culture.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's what's up. So we start on Zoom October 11th. We had to push the date because of the tropical storm and all kinds of madness. And we are at, are you ready for this reach out?
Yes.
Shirley Bass Project@gmail.com. And we have registration forms for interested teachers in Eleuthera. We have an additional 3 seats for people anywhere who want to come and partake of an incredible lecture every Saturday for 10 weeks from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Incredible lecture. Nico Bethel just spilling knowledge and wisdom. Angelique McKay, who goes to Africa regularly, connecting our culture to the West African continent, like the part of Ghana mm-hmm. that we really a huge representation of our population can tie their ancestry to.
And the participants are just as exciting, accomplished, and exposed as the presenters. I hope this new cohort will be as lucky as the first cohort that at the end of the experience they viewed the film Who in the Morning, the documentary about the Junkanoo goddess Angelique McKay and the Genesis Warhawks as they returned to Junkanoo competition after the 2-year hiatus due to COVID-19.
That's right. We had built a community because of the rich understanding and the commitment. By the end of the class, we have and that's part of the practice, Aaron, is this teaching practice. The way we're going to get, you know, Bahamian classroom teachers is through a model called professional learning community. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, we really believe that by a teacher with a teaching artist. If I'm a classroom teacher, I might not know everything about dance or everything mm-hmm. about media arts or everything about drama. And as an artist, I might know what a third grader or sixth grade teacher or should, what are those kids like?
Right.
But by working together, these members of this course, and this is something that I really want to tease everybody with, you're contributing to the, you're contributing directly to the development of the national curriculum, because we are applying these standards, these brand new goals and standards, for the very first time in this class, asking these participants to take this juicy information about the history of Junkanoo and then say, wow, that was a deep lecture, man. What can we, how can we share this with the children? That is what this course is all about. You get a certificate. We're going to have people vetted so that they can then work in the schools. Disney has really been wonderful as a collaborative partner in allowing us to now put the program into the schools. So yes, before it was just theoretical. It was just planning. It was just learning. But now, thanks to our collaboration with Disney, we're actually going to have those teaching artists going into the schools, into Eleuthera, working with the children, working with their collaborative to come to full fruition on this work.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited.
So tell interested teachers how to register.
So all teachers, this is public parochial schools, private schools, can reach out to us for a registration form. Spaces are limited. And that is at ShirleyBassProject@gmail.com. We also have the Shirley Bass Foundation. If you just want to know more about our programming and our work, we're the Shirley Hall Bass Foundation.org. And if you send us an email to our Gmail account, we will send you a registration form. I will tell you that the Ministry of Education is targeting Eleuthera. They really want, Hannah Martin is very committed to the family islands and the representation of their context in this work. So the majority of the scholarships for this program are going to teachers and teaching artists in Eleuthera, but that should not deter people from applying. And this program will be starting, as I said, a little week later than we thought, October 11th from 9 to 12 on Zoom. You will get a Zoom link. You will be registered through the University of the Bahamas, because I must mention, they are our collaborative partners as well. Continuing education class.
Yes.
That is endorsed by the University of the Bahamas.
Great stuff. Great stuff. I want to say thank you, Carol, Chris Carroll, very, very much. And this program, along with a number of other programs, are a part of the Ministry of Education's strategy to grow agriculture in the Bahamas. I'm looking for a quote I have from the minister responsible. It's a wonderful quote that she uses. I'm going to find it in one of these other articles, but it is great to see the various elements of an academic and education landscape forming, and then also forming networks, right? This is an awesome time, not just to be a young person, but it's an awesome time to be a Bahamian.
I never would have thought, Aaron, that by following my own passion and my aunt's legacy for performing arts education, I would be making jobs for Bahamas. You know, like, I would have never thought that that was true. But to see that the jobs that we are supplying through the show of work our work because we value performing artists. We value our performing artists. You know, it's really important that we pay them, right? If you look at the pay rates and the pay scales of the Ministry of Education, I'm not trying to call anybody out, but we've got to practice what we preach. And so we are really advocating for the increase of salaries through Ministry of Education's payroll. You know, they got schedules. We have to value our culture. If we say our culture is important, then those craft teachers, those highly trained, highly experienced dancers. Shout out to Monique Sweeting. You know, I'm just saying.
Must be valued. Must be valued.
Yes, we have to show that. And part of our organization's philosophy is pay Bahamians. The last thing I'll share is shout out to Robert Bain, who has brought to fruition. He's on our board of directors and has brought to fruition after some number of years we've been talking about bringing, I don't know if you know this, but there's an American woman who was brought as a consultant to the Bahamas to help support and develop the National Dance Company. And she identified my aunt and Robert Bain to come down. And so they're having a Cleo Parker Robin, a very well-known American choreographer. She's based in Colorado. On October 24th, we're having a free public performance. Shirley Hall Bass Foundation is supporting Robert in this incredible sort of full circle acknowledgement of bringing this well-known choreographer and dancer to something he's calling the People's Performance. I'm just giving one more plug in.
Thank you.
Because I can. It's a free show for us to see the high quality of work of the National Dance Company of the Bahamas. We have these institutions, and I'm so grateful to be able to put those institutions into our national curriculum. God forbid we don't have those institutions in the future, and the curriculum, what national dance company? What national youth choir? I'm writing those things into the curriculum so that we can preserve them and mm-hmm. so that we can recognize the relevance. So October 24th, there's another exciting event, the Pupils Performance at the Dundas, which you know had just, man, I was at Nico's Theater watching those 10 plays. It was the best acting. And I work in Chicago on major American stages.
Shakespeare in Paradise and Short Tales.
Phenomenal.
Yes,
I was
ma'am.
In my seat forward, backwards, laughing, crying, scared. Phenomenal. So I just say, support your teaching artists. If you know people in Eleuthera, send them to us because we want to support them. All right?
Absolutely.
That's it. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Eleuthera is very special to me. I spend many summers there at summer camp, and every year, because the summer camp was held over the independence celebrations, we would have an independence celebration and cultural shows, and we would not just live culture, but teach culture and cultural expression. Thank you very much, Chris Carroll, again, from the Shirley, I'm going to get it right this time, the Shirley Hall Bass Dance School.
Legacy Project and Foundation. We got an organization in America and an organization right there at home in the Nassau, Bahama land. All right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
We're here for it. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you.
And I hope to see you soon in studio.
Absolutely. I'll be back in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. So to continue on that conversation about the academic and education landscape, I just want to read quickly from this article. BTVI becomes first COE region. The Bahamas Technical and Vocational Institute made history after it became the first and only institution in the country and region to receive international accreditation from the Council on Occupational Education. Let me just point out here that BTVI now has 7 campuses: New Providence, Grand Bahama, Abaco, Eleuthera, Exuma, North Andres, and Moores Island campuses are all fully accredited. And this is an awesome, awesome achievement. This coveted status places BTVI among a network of nearly 500 elite institutions across the globe, all united by a shared mandate to uphold the highest standards of excellence in occupational education. Hannah Martin said BTVI raised the bar for technical education in BTVI President Dr. Linda Davis said the milestone will create far-reaching benefits for the entire country. It firmly establishes BTVI in all 7 locations, she said during the press conference. And then quickly to another positive story, government launches DigiLearn program. The Digital Transformation Unit in the Ministry of Education and Technical and Vocational Training yesterday launched DigiLearn Bahamas, an initiative geared toward enriching Bahamians of all ages with digital literacy skills and knowledge. It was funded by a loan agreement between Ministry of Economic Affairs and IDB. It's going to be executed by the University of the Bahamas and BTVI to participants free of cost. Minister Hannah Martin said the program aims to level the digital divide. We officially launched DigiLearn, quote, we officially launched DigiLearn Bahamas Initiative, a gold and inclusive program designed to equip Bahamians with digital essential for success in the 21st century. Courses are accessible to all Bahamians, including Family Island residents, and the first cohort of participants have begun training in New Providence, Grand Bahama, and Eleuthera. The courses will be focused on areas including information and communication, technology, coding, cybersecurity, e-commerce, and productivity tools. Quote from the Minister for Entrepreneurial Skills and E-Commerce will open doors to new markets, streamline operations, and faster innovation. She continued, quote, for our young people and lifelong learners, our students, these skills will be the foundation for the career and advancement and personal development and global competitiveness of our young. Minister Halkita said the initiative represents an investment in our people and in our future. This is great stuff. We've got good morning. Hello? Oh, okay, no problem.
It's Kristen Carroll again, but I know you're done with me because thank you.
But listen, no, if you have to go, go. If you don't have to go, you may enjoy this conversation and contribute.
I can't. Look, I'm so proud of that Prime Minister standing up in front of the UN and telling people like it was.
Mm-hmm.
That was a phenomenal. I'm sure you've already talked about that, but I'm still rewatching the UN address. It was pretty exciting. And I do think we're in a positive place in the Bahamas educationally.
Absolutely.
TVI, what? Yeah, those are all relevant skills. And even in terms of the theater program that we're talking about, we're talking about technical theater. We're talking about light, stage management, mm-hmm. front of the house, back of the house. It's not just about the performance.
Set production as well. And we've got campus, and we know that the University of the Bahamas is working on the UB Community School of Music. Just grand things are happening. But the question I have for my audience today, I wanted to juxtapose that advancement in education or the education with the declaration, Barbados, Belize, Dominica, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines launch full free movement on October 1st, 2025. That was yesterday. These four countries have agreed to grant their nationals the right to enter, leave, and re-enter. Move freely, reside, work, and remain indefinitely in the receiving member state without the need for a work or residency permit. Their nationals will also be able to access emergency and primary health care and public primary and secondary education within the means of the receiving member state. This is in keeping with the CARICOM head's decision taken at the 49th regular meeting of the Conference of CARICOM Heads of Government this year. And so it's a very exciting movement. I got an article from The Guardian UK that refers to this agreement as a EU, like European Union style agreement. But I think our CARICOM bloc existed before, did it exist before EU was formalized? I took umbrage. Right, I know they're British, but I took umbrage of them suggesting that we follow in their model. I don't think we follow in their model at all. But not just that, this is not necessarily new in the region because we know the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, the OECS. It's a sub-regional group, and they have already been operating with some of the principles in the agreement. So it's not new to the Caribbean at all. I don't like how the UK is suggesting that we are modeling them when truly they are modeling us. You know, it's like Europe woke up one day and realized, hold on, we are in the same position as these underdeveloped or countries that we have underdeveloped. Right, we're in the same position as them. And perhaps for our strategic advancement in the world, globally, we need to organize ourselves as a bloc. So anyway, those are the two to ask Bahamians. Are we prepared for any sort of freedom of movement? Are you prepared for freedom of movement if it allows you to also move? Does anybody see any advantage for a Bahamian with a Caribbean freedom of movement, Bahamas participating in a CARICOM freedom of movement agreement? And would it be a benefit to Bahamians to open up the academic space to other regional participants? Iron sharpen iron. I'm thinking of Jamaica. Jamaicans are known for their vocational and occupational skills. In fact, if you know a Jamaican, you know three tradesmen one time. Because typically, Jamaicans who migrate to the Bahamas come with skills. But it turns out they may have the skills, but not the accreditation necessary to extract the most value from their skills. would this be beneficial to Bahamians? I see I got a caller coming in, and I just want to juxtapose that to another thing, because after today's show, I go into the Fourth Future of Democracy conference. I'm going to bring that in a second. Let's go to the phone line, producer. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Mr. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Boy, you think that might be problematic in the Bahamas, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason for that is, right, you know all the Cuban maids come across here. You know that Cuban maids come across, and now you know that can break up a family.
Okay, now listen. Watch this. What do we call that? Housekeeping? But there's a professional term for that, right? But
boy,
I don't think that...
Turn straight up to prostitution.
I don't think that... Bahamians don't need nothing to encourage them to engage in that, eh? We don't need nothing. In fact, Bahamians are going to suggest that's a cultural ill that we adopted from our neighbors. I don't think so either.
You think any Bahamian woman now walking around the house cleaning?
But pause. I'm trying to figure out why you want to talk about that subject, because surely housekeeping would not be... considered a vocational training skill.
Well, if you turn it to that, trust me, you turn that real quick.
Let's not disparage other people. Let's not do that. Because you know why? Because we prepare to prostitute our own. We're prepared to do that. We don't need to bring in, we prefer a foreigner. We prefer a foreigner to take advantage of. To prostitute. But we're prepared to do it to our own. You should join me on Friday. One headphone have to be for Guardian Radio AM and one headphone, and then you get to sit at the conference so you could listen to the conference and then listen to Guardian Radio all day at the same time. But Friday, 11 a.m., my presentation is Can You See the Plantation Through the Palm Trees? Plantation Model Systems in the Bahamas, right? Examining how the how we, whether wittingly or unwittingly, perpetuate plantation model systems in the country, questioning the integrity or the validity of our nation state, right? But it's not just the systems like I want to examine. I want to examine the ways in which Bahamians are prepared to plantationize, right? To enslave other people. Right, we don't need Cubans to prostitute. We prostitute anybody at any time. Let's not do that to our Cuban brothers and sisters. Because we know the history. We know that Cuba has been under an economic embargo for decades. We know that the success, the economic success of the Bahamas is partially due to that embargo. You can't be making fun of people while collectively at the national level you benefiting from their despair. That's not nice. Now, caller, I ain't rowing you, and let me apologize if I come off like I rowing you. I'm not rowing, but in the defense of people, you know, we got to be prepared to dig our toes into the ground a little bit. Same thing for our cousins in Haiti. You know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. Ignorance of history is also no excuse. And you can talk about anything you want, but if you talk about it with me, I will always remind you of the context, right? They give you a sense of place and a sense of time so you can understand historically political interference that has plagued Haiti from, what, 1804? Yeah. Just so, you know, we could say what we want, but be prepared for people to add context, right? So we ensure that the information that we're receiving or sharing is correct. All right, so I got a text here. It says, Ms. Green, great topic on labor. Another thing I see big companies here, they work you 8 to 9 hour shift, end at midnight, and you're on the clock again for 6 a.m. for another 8 to 9 hour shift. Why do we sign on to ILO if we are not following the laws? Well, the question is this. Does the labor union, the labor movement and the unions, do they only represent the issues of union members. Now, I would say historically, no. Right? I would say historically, no, that's not the case. They're not selfish like that. And that's not how advocacy works, right? Like, non-union members tend from the agitation and the advocacy and the lobbying of unions, right? And trade congresses. But we have a particular situation, you know, in the security space, right, with security guards. We had a case recently where the judge had to declare that, no, you cannot waive a constitutionally guaranteed right. And I'm sure you'll, there's a simpler example in the law. You cannot assault, you cannot consent to an assault. You can't tell the police, I tell him to hit me, because you don't want the police to lock the offender up, right? You can't consent to an assault. And so we had a case where the former staff member took the company to court because of issues concerning pay and the adherence to the Employment Act and the labor laws. And I think the staff was indicating that they were being made to work overtime without recognition, right? Without economic recognition or schedule adjustment. So it turns out that we have a number of security companies that are just ignoring the law. And even after the case, I still see on social media complaints from employees and former employees about security guard companies that are ignoring the law and the Constitution. So, yeah, what we need is we need a workers advocate, right? Like, I would say in the Ministry of Labor, an officer whose purpose is to support or liaise with or facilitate or engage non-union members to ensure that their matters are being dealt with. As I say, we will prostitute anybody in this country. In fact, I think we like a plantation. We just don't want to be the enslaved on the plantation. So, the Fourth Future of Democracy Conference, Day 2, has started already. I think the first speaker started at 10 a.m., Ken Clark, AI and Better Governance. At 11 a.m., Ancelino Davis, Party, Identity, and Environmental Politics in the Bahamas. At noon, Indira Martin, The Biomedical Case for Decolonization in the Bahamas. Lunch is at 1, then they have a film at 2 p.m. called Silver Dollar Road. And then at 4 p.m., Christopher Curry, The Hidden Transcript, The Function of Conclaves, Conferences, and Clandestine Meetings in the Shaping of Political Discourse in the Bahamas. Let me repeat that. The Hidden Transcript, The Function of Conclaves, Conferences, and Clandestine Meetings in Discourse in the Bahamas. That begins at 4 p.m. and then at 5 p.m., Marion Bethel, The Right to Self-Determination, Democracy, and the Bahamas in the 21st Century. And at 6 p.m., Sean McQueenie, The Future Prospects of Constitutional Reform. I'm going to encourage, if you are a political advocate or political activist, if you want to start a political party, if you're a social commentator, if you're a historian, if you're a cultural stakeholder, I suggest everybody come out to this event. 1st through 4th of October, day 3 is Friday, day 4 is Saturday. Producer, if we could take a break now, and then when we come back from the break, I have a clip from the keynote speaker, day 1 of the conference. I'm not sure if I could get the clip to play. It's just a little touch and go right now. But after the break, hopefully I could play a snippet, because this presentation on clientelism in global politics, it sound foreign, you know, but it's all about us. You guys, stay tuned. You're On the Clock with Erin Green. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know. And nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I wait?
All you gotta do is call them or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info? And when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me? Uh-uh.
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 308-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Get ready to swing for a cause. The 4th Annual Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, brought to you by Cleft of the Rock Foundation in proud partnership with the Bahamar Foundation. Join us on Sunday, October 5th at the world-class Royal Blue Golf Course at Bahamar in Nassau, the Bahamas, for a day of championship golf, community, and impact. This isn't just another tournament. It's a chance to change lives. Every putt, every drive, every swing supports programs like Parenting on Purpose and Disciplines for Life, empowering families across the Bahamas with education, awareness, and hope. Don't miss this unforgettable event, the 4th Annual Rebuilding Villages Charity Golf Tournament, October 5th. To register or learn more, visit cleftoftherockfoundation.org or email cleftoftherockfoundation@gmail.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Kitchen supplies? Make home repairs. Purchase a generator and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Bigger, longer, wider. Saturdays are getting supersized on Guardian Radio, following the always heavy hitting The Eye Opener at 9 a.m. Stay tuned for the full size, the accredited from 10th year seniors at 11 a.m. Now for a full 2 hours. Then Tell to Stanya at 1 p.m. is now even longer at 90 minutes. The big, all new season of Our Blue Bahamas from Breathe is now at 2:30 p.m. And the happy hour of Deandra Cartwright is smiling wide at its new time, 3 p.m. It's the new big Guardian Radio Saturdays on 96.9 FM or GuardianTalkRadio.com.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. I want to go straight into the clip. It's just a short clip featuring Meredith Wise, the keynote speaker at the Fourth Future of Democracy Conference. She spoke last night at 6 p.m. in the 6 p.m. slot. Producer, play the clip.
And they can help you. It's based on fundamentally a feudal system of patrons and clients in which the clients, the ordinary citizen, turns to somebody more powerful, better connected for what they need. Linked with that, which I'll also talk about, is the patronage, which has to do with the money and resources that tend to flow through those clientelist networks. Mm-hmm. So not all clientelism is about giving out money or getting money. Not all patronage goes through those clientelist networks, but it's really an important part of understanding how politics tends to work in all sorts of places. There is often this myth that states or societies graduate out of clientelism, and that is so not the case. And we find it everywhere. What varies, though, are the specific forms it might take, the types of goods that may be involved in this patronage politics, and what sort of effects these patterns have for democracy or for any sort of governance.
There we go. I was unable to make the keynote, which is why I wanted to take time to speak to the keynote speaker yesterday. All of the sessions are being recorded. All of the sessions will be shared, I think, on the Future of Democracy social media pages. And I know that the organizers are compiling the clips. They're editing clips. It's going to be a wonderful presentation. And before we go, I want to share another piece about one of the presentations at the conference. In today's Tribune, bottom fold, headline, government urged to address feminine item choice issues. Equality Bahamas is pressing the government to address the limited choice of menstrual products available in the country, restricted in style, size, and material, by investing in national manufacturing and ensuring the items are sold tax-free in stores and pharmacies. Founder Alicia Wallace made the call yesterday while presenting recommendations from an Equality Bahamas workshop during the UB's fourth going based on what politicians want to do or what political parties want to do. We're starting with us. What are the issues that we see? And not just that, but tapping into our own knowledge and experience to be able to solve these issues, close quotes, Ms. Wallace said. The small group workshops involving 2 to 4 participants focused on issues tied to health, to education, to youth, and LGBTQI rights. One of the most urgent themes raised was the lack of variety and accessibility of menstrual products. Ms. Wallace noted that while pads, tampons, and sanitary napkins are stocked locally, newer alternatives like menstrual cups, discs, and period underwear are rarely found. She said this shortage often stems from suppliers refusing to import items they consider unprofitable. Quote, why might that be? She asked, quote, we landed on the fact that people with bodies that menstruate are decentered across the board, just unimportant and don't need any attention. So we asked, where does this issue show up? Where does it affect people? And pretty much everywhere, because menstruating bodies go everywhere, are need school, work, family, church, all of these different places. But I think if we speak to women and we speak to medical practitioners, right, what we will find is that within our population, we have large numbers of women that are experiencing menstrual health issues, or they have gynecological health issues, right? And so we have an extremely large number of women who experience excessive bleeding during their cycles, right? Here's why this is like an issue at a national level. Men, maybe turn on the sports game with one ear and just peep with the other ear while the women's them talk, right? But when you purchase tampons, you look on the side of the box, they tell you the different sizes or absorbency levels that they carry. And they go from light to maxi or ultra. Well, the thing is, right, the maxi or ultra is most suitable for women who experience excessive bleeding. We have lots of women in this country that experience excessive bleeding, but guess what? That ultra, that maxi size, absorbency level, is not even available in Bahamian markets, right? After speaking to buyers and suppliers repeatedly, they continue to tell me, because a lot of women do the buying, right, for these stores, that particular product is not accessible market, that they can't access it, right? Or that the rate set for it is so exorbitant that even the consumers on the ground wouldn't be able to afford it, like at cost, right? This is actually a super huge issue. And we understand that women who are not able to cater to their menstrual health needs effectively or efficiently lose production. And we lose productivity across the board, right? It's a really important issue for a large percentage of our population. The group recommended allocating resources to create a knowledge base to support national manufacturing of tax-free menstrual products with models to be shared with CARICOM. And guess what? We have a Bahamian manufacturer right now, or at least I'm not sure if the factory is still in operation, but I could say confidently 5 years ago, we had a Bahamian manufacturer manufacturing feminine hygiene products in the Dominican Republic, I think. And that manufacturer expressed to me that they were unwilling to extend, like to bring that their product that they produce in a Caribbean country right next to us to Bahamian markets for Bahamians. Here's a text. Aaron, we have products that feed children that are not tax-free. And why have toiletries that everyone need not tax-free? Another person who has never interacted with a woman. Are you like Macbeth? Or are you like Tony McKay? Did you come down on a lightning bolt? The text goes on, we shouldn't be cutting taxes for just female products. I don't think anybody said only cut taxes for female products. I swear, texter, have you ever met a woman? The texter goes on, I thought Alicia was complaining about not having biodegradable sanitary products that don't clog the plumbing. But no, shame on her. I was going to ask if anybody knows who this place is, but I know that the women don't know because this person has never met a woman, never interacted with a woman. They came down on a lightning. This boy is Macbeth's brother. This boy have to be Macbeth, offensive texter. I read it out loud because you spend your money, and I think it's important for Bahamians to hear. See, because when advocates come on the radio and when they engage in public advocacy, a lot of people say, well, that I don't know what they're talking about because I've never experienced that. So now you all know. Because like me, and like Miss Wallace, and like the other volunteers at Equality Bahamas, you've experienced it too now. And I pray for the people who are experiencing that every day. So Future of Democracy for today's lineup, Dr. Ancelino Davis, Party Identity and Environmental Politics in the Bahamas. Producer, let's prep the phone line. This is my cousin. I think she's a doctor. If she's not, she deserves it behind her name, in front of her name. Indira Martin, the biomedical case for decolonization in the Bahamas. Christopher Curry, doctor, the hidden transcript, the functions. There we go. Call I coming to you right now, the function of conclaves, conferences, and clandestine meetings in the shaping of political discourse in the Bahamas. Marion Bethel, the right to self-determination, democracy in the Bahamas in the 21st century. And Sean McQueeny, the future prospects of constitutional reform. Good morning, caller.
My name is Green. Sorry for calling so late. I wanted to chime in a bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess offline, you said that it starts from when, today?
The conference? I mean the classes, the arts integration?
No, I think you said something with the future of democracy.
Oh, yeah, no, so it started yesterday. Today is day two. Tomorrow, day three, I'll be speaking at 11, and then the day four is Saturday. And so on day four, the Saturday, There's a workshop, a zine making workshop. It will be good.
Yeah, I'd like you to get share the information with me offline, but I wanted to get this in as it relates to democracy, but I hope somebody from our country goes to the World Government Summit, and then obviously I would like to juxtapose scientific dictatorship, as we saw during the pandemic, and throughout, you know, just some common sense applied here as it relates to democracy with the abrogation of rights using science without objectivity, et cetera, oversight. And it's just some things that it'll be ecstatic for me to even have a conversation with people like Dr. Strawn and the likes. Give thanks.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, I'm so sorry because I'm going to share with you one of the topics for yesterday's forum. I'm going to pull it up right now. I know we're almost out of time. Thank you so much, 52. Here it is. So yesterday, the first panel of the morning, 10 a.m., presenter Danny Davis. Topic, the Bahamas needs another pandemic. I missed that because I was on the air. Anyway, oh, what a good time. I was able to this session by Jamal Archer, investigating childhood trauma among criminal offenders reared in single mother households, where he put forward a research proposal. It was an awesome discussion had by all. Equality Bahamas' presentation was great. And on Saturday morning at 10 a.m., Pontiana Paper Press, Power of the Press, a zine-making DIY publishing workshop. You do not want to miss that. I'm telling you, from personal experience, if you get a chance, come out to the whole thing. 2 p.m., Keisha Ellis, that's on Saturday, Economic Realities of Minimum Wage in the Bahamas. Tomorrow, we can try a thing. It's been a great time. Oh, text, I wish I had seen this before the music started playing. I mean, it's madness, but I would have read it. Well, be good to each other. Please, be good to each other. You've been On the Clock with Aaron Green, Guardian Radio 8. Senuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.